When the protesters began to shout back at the construction workers, and the construction workers began firing pieces of fruit from their dinner buckets at the protesters, the police had stepped in. Citing the protesters' lack of a permit, the dairy cops had apparently never heard about the right of Americans to assemble peaceably. They rounded up the kids and took them to the police substation on Wycham Street. There, they were simply released. "We only wanted to get them out of a bad atmosphere," one cop was quoted as saying. "If they go back down there, they're even dumber than they look." The photo really wasn't much different from the one taken at East Annex during the Coleman Chemicals protest. It showed the cops leading the protesters away while construction workers, a year or so later, they would all be sporting small American flags on their hard hats, jeered and grinned and shook their fists. One cop was frozen in the act of reaching out toward Carol's arm. Nate, standing behind her, had not attracted their attention, it seemed. Two more cops were escorting Stoke Jones, who was back to the camera but unmistakable on his crutches. If any further aid to identification was needed, there was that hand-drawn sparrow track on his jacket. "Look at that dumb fuck," Ronnie crowed. Ronnie, who had flunked 2 of 4 on the last round of prelims, had a nerve calling anyone a dumb fuck. Like he didn't have anything better to do. Skip ignored him. So did I. For us, Ronnie's bluster was already fading into insignificance, no matter what the subject. We were fascinated by the sight of Carol and of Nate Hoppenstand behind her, watching as the demonstrators were led away. Nate, as neat as ever, in an Ivy League shirt and jeans with cuffs and creases. Nate standing near the jeering, fist-shaking construction workers, but totally ignored by them. Ignored by the cops, too. Neither group knew my roommate had lately become a fan of the subversive Mr. Phil Oakes. I slipped out to the telephone booth and called Franklin Hall, second floor. Someone from the lounge answered, and when I asked for Carol, the girl said Carol wasn't there. She'd gone over to the library to study with Libby Sexton. "Is this Pete?" "Yeah," I said. "There's a note here for you. She left it on the glass." This was common practice in the dorms at that time. "It says she'll call you later." "Okay, thanks." Skip was outside the telephone booth, motioning impatiently for me to come. We walked down the hall to see Nate, even though we knew we'd both lose our places at the tables where we'd been playing. In this case, curiosity outweighed obsession. Nate's face didn't change much when we showed him the paper and asked him about the demonstration the day before, but his face never changed much. All the same, I sensed that he was unhappy, perhaps even miserable. I couldn't understand why that would be. Everything had ended well, after all. No one had gone to jail or even been named in the paper.